This is Social Entrepreneur with Julie Kratz, the author of One, How Male Allies Support Women for Gender Equality.
What are we not talking about with women's leadership that we should be talking about and landed on men and male allies? It was kind of weird, right? Like people are like, so you like, you're about women leaders and you're going to write a book about men?
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week you'll hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Social Entrepreneur, and our guest today is Julie Kratz, the author of One, How Male Allies Support Women for Gender Equality. Now, in the news, obviously you've noticed this trend called the Me Too moment, and it builds on a women's movement that's been going on for a long time, obviously, but it really began to gain momentum during the Harvey Weinstein revelations. And women are speaking out, they're organizing, they're taking action. But recently I've heard women remind us that Me Too is about more than just sex and sexual harassment, sexual behavior. It's really about gender equality. It's about careers, about opportunity. Julie is an expert in this particular area. She spent a lot of years delving into women's studies, and she wrote a book called Pivot Point, where she talks about women's pivot in their career. And now she's done some deep research for her new book called One, How Male Allies Support Women for Gender Equality. And in this interview, we talk about what an organization might look like if it had achieved gender equality. But then we get to the delta, the difference between the reality today and that ideal workplace. Then we talk a little bit about the price that we pay for failing to pay attention to this. Julie talks about indicators of gender equality that organizations can look for. She talks about who's getting this right. And then at the end, she gives us some advice about one thing that we can each do to make a positive impact on gender equality at our organization. So let's go to Julie. Here she is, Julie Kratz of Pivot Point, the author of One, How Male Allies Support Women for Gender Equality.
An ally really is, it can fulfill a variety of roles. So especially for men, for women, they can be a coach, a mentor, a sponsor. Really, they're filling a role that is most meaningful for that woman, where they have an area of strength and where she has an area of need. But it's really the reason I love the term ally. And we did a poll actually to figure out what was the best word to describe men that support women. And overwhelmingly, they didn't want any word. They're just like, it's just being a human. Women gave me very strong feedback that not all men think this way. But yeah, it's a side-by-side. So an ally really is a symbol of somebody that's in it with you. They're not, it's not a power play. They're not rescuing you. They're in it side-by-side with you, and they're in the battle together with you.
In the battle together, I love how you say that word side by side, because it's not a paternalistic kind of relationship, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the opposite of ally.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, because that was something that came back in our research very strongly, is that women did not want a father figure at work. And men, you know, a lot of times they're inspired to help women in their lives because they have daughters, which is wonderful and very inspiring and a great source of empathy for other women in their lives. But it becomes a challenge when then you treat other women as your daughter. That's not appropriate. Like you said, not what an ally does.
No. So if you saw an organization who is getting this right, what would that look like? So when we, and the overarching issue is really kind of gender equality, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That we're, you know, we're all just humans and we're all working together and we sort of have reached parity. So if you saw an organization that was doing it right, what would you see in that organization?
Yeah, ideally in an organization, you would look around the leadership table and you would see diversity, whether that was gender diversity or diversity of race or other sources of diversity. But what goes to show you, the data really supports that when you have gender equality at the highest level of organizations, you have a much stronger profitability number. McKinsey cites about a 16% higher profitability rate with gender equality organizations versus those that do not. So we're leaving money on the table. And I think what organizations that do this well realize is that it's not a zero-sum game. You know, if there are primarily white male leaders in your organization, they don't look at it as I have something to lose if someone else gains. No, we're all in this together. And actually, the research shows that when you work together, you have more seats at that table versus my seat versus your seat. So the pie actually gets bigger versus us looking at it as taking different pieces of the pie.
I love the statistic you quoted, and I have read that in other places, that companies that have women on the boards, they have more profitability, they're more sustainable, there's, you know, just all these great things that come out of it. But that's not really the reality, is it? So let's, if that's our goal, if that's the thing we want parity, we want, you know, diversity of thought and diversity of presence of people in our organizations, especially at the highest levels. So if that's the goal, what's the reality?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because so much of the data supports a healthy ROI for increasing inequality, yet as you've noticed, the statistics really aren't changing. They haven't changed for quite some time, even with this overt focus and data to back it up. So what organizations really need to do is unpack what's really going on, the perceptions and the behaviors that are holding women back inside your organization. And what we found is it's not blatant. You know, it's not like 1980 when it's like, a woman can't do that job. Like, that's not what's happening now. Instead, the conversation, and you've probably heard or thought things, even myself, I've thought these things about working women, especially working women mothers. Well, she just had a child. You know, she probably doesn't want a promotion right now. Or, ooh, we don't want to put her in that position because she can she travel? You know, I don't think she wants to travel. And instead, what male allies do is, instead of kind of putting this unconscious bias on somebody because of their gender role, they say, well, how do you know that's true? Did you ask her that? No, I don't think she said that, actually. Yeah. And so they challenge that unconscious bias that just can hold us back sometimes.
You know, I was fascinated in your book, you quote some statistics. So it's like 5.6% of CEOs are women, and less than 20% of board seats belong to women. I mean, that, and like you said, those numbers aren't even changing.
No, they're not improving. And unfortunately, the latest McKinsey Women Matter report actually show that they're getting worse rather than better. And we know other things going on in the political climate right now and socially, we're dealing with some of the real issues that I think have held women back that haven't been discussed overtly. You know, women are kind of wired to hold back, not speak up and ask for what you want. You know, you don't want to be too aggressive. And so we've kind of just accepted that things are changing. It's going to be a slow, gradual change, but that's actually not true. If we don't do something now, it can actually get worse.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when I think about the purpose for my business and my why I started doing what I started doing and why I wrote this book, is the world just has to be different for my daughters. It has to be different. And I'm willing to accept 20 years from now. That might be it. I'm okay dealing with this crap, but she's not going to deal with it.
Yeah. What's the price for organizations that fail to address this? Mm-hmm. Can you just talk about what do we miss out on?
Yeah, the priced organizations, you know, it's not a blatant price tag. It's not a line item on your financials, which I think is why there's not a sense of urgency around this, even now. But what they are missing out on are some incredible behaviors that women bring to the table. And so when there's people with diverse perspectives, diverse backgrounds, you get better ideas. You get increased collaboration. You have much, much better innovation. And so when you have a truly inclusive mindset, and what organizations said with strong women leaders, is they engage people in the discussion, right? They make the conversation bigger. And then as a result of the better ideas being vetted and increased visibility for people that may not have had that visibility, that the power of the team is so much stronger because all voices are heard. The team is more engaged, has more buy-in in that. And if you think about it from a consumer's perspective, you know, 80% of the buying decisions in our country are made by women. If you're not including women in the process to make decisions, you're missing out likely on your consumer's perspective.
Yeah.
And then I think for organizations that are struggling with this, you know, look around your next meeting you have with your team, look around and think about who's not here. Whose voice is not being heard, whether that's a person of color or gender, whatever's missing, and ask one of those people to come to the next meeting. Get their perspective. And the more you see that value, the more you'll be likely to do that.
But if I'm looking for the key indicators of my organization that we are or are not getting gender equality right, what would I look
for? Mm-hmm. Well, the two big things, right, your leadership team percentage, as you cited, whether that's the board of directors or the C-suite, you know, what percentage are men versus women? And I think when you take a good look at that, and anyone in the organization, you should be asking that question. You know, what percentage is it from a gender perspective at the highest level of decision making? And then the second piece is the other key piece of research we found with one is that women still on average for the same work are paid 83% of what their male peers are paid. And that's for the same work. That's not different work. And so just right from the get-go, we're making less money than men. And I think organizations that have done this well have actually run the numbers. And it's not difficult to run these numbers. It's very sensitive. It's not something a lot of organizations want to do, but they have been very transparent about what the pay gap is in their organization. And I'm based in Indianapolis, Indiana. We have a great organization that's leading the way here. Salesforce did a pay study and they actually found a huge gap between men and women and they righted that wrong. They increased the women's salaries. But what's interesting, a year later, they revisited that pay study and already the numbers were starting to slip and go back and revert to that. So it shows you it's not just a pay problem. You know, there's this unconscious bias, this subtle things that we do every day with how we value women's work. So it's not just a snap thing that you fix it. You have to keep focusing on it. You have to really mean that it, when you say it's a priority, your behaviors match that it's a priority and that transparency.
I'm glad you brought up that positive example. I think that's, you know, where we want to get to is, you know, who's doing it right. And you've mentioned Salesforce. That's a really good example right there of some positive actions. But let's just say that as a, I happen to be a male, and so I'd love to be a male ally. And so what should I do?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of three natural groups of men out there. If I were to kind of bucket it, you know, there's men that are all in as male allies, a lot of the men that we researched for the book and our podcast, and they are doing all of these things already. And then if you think of it as a natural kind of bell curve, there's a lot of men in the middle that I call men on the fringe that are, hey, I want to be supportive. I'm not sure how. All the craziness in the news is kind of scaring me, and I'm kind of scared to even talk to women at work, but I really do want to help women, and I just don't know what to do. And then there's other men, as hard as we try, probably not going to be male allies, and that's okay, right? So I think the biggest opportunity is for the question you just asked is so perfect, Tony, because the men on the fringe, the men in the middle that want to be supportive but don't know how. And what we found in our research is it kind of always went back to these four key things, regardless of the story and how we ask the questions, is first starting the conversation from a place of empathy, not sympathy. And less problem, to your point about less focus on the problem, more on the solution. But men just listening, right? Listening to her story, not having to have all the answers. It's really coaching that a lot of these male allies do. But you know, sometimes when she needs some feedback, even if it's not great, they give it to her. They tell her what she needs to hear, not what she wants to hear. So there's an element of empathy and storytelling and speaking up. So one of the, and this is so timely today, is men are actually much better suited to call out bad behavior by other men than women are. So when women do it, unfortunately, we get called not so nice names. When men do it, people respond. They take notice of this is not okay. And so if you see a woman being mistreated or not heard or spoken over or, you know, something derogatory said, a male ally can just call attention to it. Say, hey man, that's not cool. Like, please don't do that again. And it doesn't have to be a nasty conversation or an awkward fight or anything. It just has to be that, like just calling out bad behavior. So speaking of with her, not for her, was another key theme. And then the fourth piece is really this whole work-life piece. Women still on average do the majority of the caretaking. And so how do men participate professionally and personally to help her? Right. And how do we, you know, I love the exercise of, you know, kind of dividing up the pie at your family and who does what, whatever your family structure looks like. But women on average do a lot more of the stuff in the home and the caretaking. And that takes time away from her being able to devote to her career, or God forbid, take care of herself and practice good self-care. So male allies really facilitate that process of her taking good care of herself, because she can only be as happy as she, for others as she is for herself. You can't give if you're empty. And so male allies really support her in that regard as well.
Let me ask you about your personal journey, about kind of how you got here. You've written this book. It's a fascinating book. It's called One, How Male Allies Support Women for Gender Equality. And so why? like what was your path that sort of led you to the day that you finally sat down and you said, I'm going to sit down and write this book?
Yeah, I mean, my why and my purpose, I've always known. I didn't have a career consciously focused on it until 3 years ago when I started my own speaking and coaching business, Pivot Point. But it was always in the backdrop of everything I did. I was studying women's studies at college. Right out of school, I was working with all men who are wonderful male allies in my peer group. And I've always been curious about, gosh, there's all these problems, right? There's all these statistics and news stories that are unfortunate. Like, what are the solutions? And that sparked the interest in my first book, Pivot Point, you know, how to build a winning career game plan around research we found for key areas of success for women, women that had achieved success. But as we kind of rode that out and spread that positive story, it was helpful. But you think about what's really held women back is, I don't think we've been so good at including men in the dialogue. I mean, we're talking about 50% of the population doesn't feel comfortable being called a feminist. For the most part, a lot of our male allies, these wonderful men, have felt alienated by women's rights movements. And so now, more so today than ever, men need to feel included. They need to feel a part of this. They've got skin in the game. They care about this too. We can't exclude them. And so strong women leaders engage these men in their careers, and they seek them out as supporters. And that's on us as women. We need to make sure that we're really creating a safe place for them to be a part of a conversation about women's empowerment, and for them to listen and to understand what the challenges are and how they might help support us.
You actually had a corporate career before you pivoted out. Pardon the pun here.
It was a pivot point.
Yeah, it was a pivot point for you. But you had a corporate career, and you were part of a leadership development opportunity. Is that right?
Yeah. I was always either a leader and in like a leadership rotational program. So I always gravitated towards leadership and helping people make positive change in their life and seeing them grow. That was always something I was extremely passionate about. But it never got me excited. Like Monday morning, I was always like, I'm going to go do that corporate gig. Ooh, okay, put on your big girl pants and do it. But now getting to do the work I love to do and having a positive impact on a challenge that I've wanted to positively impact for so many years, it's really cool. Like if I can be one small part of solving this problem, I'm fortunate to be a part of it. And a year ago, when I got curious about this, what's the tool that's missing? You know, what are we not talking about with women's leadership that we should be talking about? And landed on men and male allies. It was kind of weird, right? Like people are like, so you like, you're about women leaders and you're going to write a book about men? But it was so glaringly obvious, just out of sheer curiosity, my conversations led to these wonderful, fascinating men that were doing amazing things and no one was really talking about it. And now I found a small but mighty community of male allies that are talking consciously about inclusion from a male perspective. And it's cool stuff. I think we're definitely going to see more and more traction in this space.
You did some research. You didn't just sit down and go into your garage on a Saturday afternoon and write a book or something, right? You did a ton of research leading up to this. So talk about that research. You know, what did you do to sort of find these male allies and to write this book?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned just having a curiosity. So a lot of the presidential election last year really sparked my curiosity. And wherever you stand on the spectrum, this is no judgment towards that. Yeah. But I think it was like, wow, it seems like we're, to your point, taking a step back before we move forward. So what are ways that we can engage men? And I just started reaching out to men that I saw that were publicly talking about women's rights and asking, hey, can I have 20 minutes of your time? So people like Michael Kimmel, amazing TED Talk that he has out there. He's a gender equality expert. And he was talking about like the benefits to men. Like there are so many benefits to men. And I was like, this is a cool way to look at this. Another person I love to follow, Adam Grant. He's written two books, Give and Take and The Originals. Wonderful, wonderful speaker. And I reached out to him and he's like, I'm kind of busy writing a book with Sheryl Sandberg, but here are five people you should talk to. And that's just so Adam, if you follow his work, he's truly a giver.
Yeah.
He just couldn't give me his time, but he gave me five other people's time.
Yeah.
So from that, it was like a spider web. You know, I got in touch with Josh Loves, who wrote a book called All In about supporting women as mothers and the role of fatherhood in our country. I talked to a male ally group at Wharton called the Wharton 22s. That's a play off the pay gap. And they actually have an all-male ally organization that's very inclusive about gender equality. So, and then from there, I talked to other people. And it was like this crazy spider web that just got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, and now I'm talking with, you know, thought leaders and people that have built businesses around this, around diversity, inclusion, and gender equality and male allyship that are doing what I'm doing now, but have been doing it for years. And so you're like, wow, there's this mighty community out here. Like we got some really great energy around it. So yeah, the research was fascinating. I think just having, again, that curiosity to learn from others, to hear other people's stories, it's something I personally just, I enjoy it. Like if I could podcast for a living, I would do that. But then distilling it into key practical strategies for people. You know, it's one thing to listen to this podcast, but what I hope you take away from it are kind of the four key elements where, you know, give you some ideas on things you can practically do tomorrow as a male ally, right away as a male ally. I mean, one of the best things as a male ally or someone that wants to be a male ally, ask a woman what it's like to be her. Hey, I'm curious about everything going on. I want to know more about your career. What's it like to be you? Tell me about you. I just want to listen to your story. And when you go into it like that as a male ally, oh my gosh, the trust and rapport you build. Women want to share. They just sometimes feel a little selfish and kind of saying what they're all about or what they want. And so men just opening the door to that conversation. Likewise, women speaking up a bit more. Engaging men, realizing we don't have to do it all by ourselves.
You've launched an organization, and we have a lot of people who talk, who listen in, who are thinking about launching their own organizations. And this is something that has to be baked in from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So if you had some advice about somebody who's early in their stage of starting an organization, and they were thinking about gender equality, what would you say to them?
Yeah. If you're thinking about gender equality, I think asking, we have a guide on our website, 5 key questions to get the gender equality conversation started in your organization. And it's really think about, tell us what's going well. Like what does good look like, right? What does success look like for gender equality at your organization? What's that vision of success? You know, is it equal representation in your leadership team, your board, whatever? Or just having diverse thought at your team meetings. It could be a lot of things. And then really unpacking that of what's missing today. What are some ideas to overcome that? What kind of conversations do we want to be having? And then just thinking about tools for success. You know, who needs to be a part of this conversation? What leaders could you maybe start to have this conversation with? And you just ask some of those nice open-ended questions and get their thought into it. And the best organizations really are just having robust dialogues around this. I'm getting a lot of requests to just come in and do a book discussion, right? Can you just kind of tee up this topic, get us started, get the ball rolling, and then we can keep having these conversations regularly and hearing diverse perspectives and brainstorming, come up with real solutions that work for us, because every organization is different. There's going to be unique needs and solutions. But when you have the power of collaboration and diverse thought and perspective and have a powerful conversation, I mean, people leave with a completely different energy. I mean, I can see a transformation in people just by having a conversation about this, because it's kind of touchy. It's kind of delicate. People wanted to talk about it. They don't know how. So start having, you know, I heard a male ally speak and he said, we need to start getting comfortable feeling uncomfortable. I was like, that is perfect, because it's going to be uncomfortable at first. And this is why we kind of like, oh, let's just wait on that. Don't. We cannot continue to wait.
If people were looking for you online or on social media, where would they look?
Next Pivot Point. So our website is nextpivotpoint.com, and all of our social media is Next Pivot Point. LinkedIn is where I publish regularly. Julie Kratz, K-R-A-T-Z.
And a call to action. So sort of quickly here, if people have been hanging out with you and me for the last half hour or so, what's something you'd love to see them go and do as a result of this conversation?
Yeah. So we've got amazing tools and resources for free on our website. So number one, if you want more information on this, we have our vault, our one vault, where you can get access to all the interviews, so all the audio files, your male ally action plan as a woman leader or a male ally, and all the tools to get started. Second, think of one thing you can do to support this conversation. As a male ally already, get more male allies involved at your organization. If you're men on the fringe that want to be a male ally, find a woman and have a conversation with her. just start the dialogue. Women, I think parking the mindset that we can do it all on our own and, you know, go women, go with just women. We need men. We need men as allies, and their support is really what's going to propel us for what's next. And so having an inviting dialogue with a potential male ally is also super important.
Well, Julie, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Thank you.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. And while you're at it, will you do me a favor? Subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. It really helps others to find these stories of changemakers who are making a difference in the world. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.